right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, December 16th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. We made it. It is a chilly 17 degrees with a foot of snow. You had a sunny blue sky here in upstate New York. When I got up, it was 11. And we, I'd say we got a couple feet of lake effect, but we had up to 50-mile-an-hour gusts last night. So that first foot that fell kind of blew away. But there's another foot when we woke up this morning. So this should be pretty interesting. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Congress Investments, 21st Century Cures Act, and Mental Surveillance Database. And I'm so glad we only got 18 views on that because people don't seem to think that this is important. But I'm going to tell you that we have uncovered some pretty dubious things coming, and I have a little bit more to add on to that today. We had taken a look. There was a publication called STAT that had done some exclusive research and looked into the investments of Congress back in 2015 and discovered that 30% of the Senate and 20% of the House, I think it said, were well invested in the biotech and health industries. And so the passage of this 21st Century Cures Act, which happened to be a bipartisan landslide, everybody rubbing hands, shaking across the aisle, it isn't a wonder that it was such a landslide, considering more than half of Congress are now millionaires. So we started digging into the bill. You know, the lack of news has been kind of deafening. I haven't seen much in the way out of any of the alphabet mainstreams. So Fox News was actually one of the only publications from any quote-unquote mainstream that was out there on day number one, and I still haven't seen anything from CBS, ABC, NBC in the news.google.com feed, which I thought was supposed to be the wink approved news. Remember, they had that verify program. Well, check this out. Story came out of thehill.com, 21st Century Cures Act and Revitalizing the Biopharma Industry. Now, what struck me about this story is that they have echoed a lot of different points we have touched upon. Of course, they have come at it from a pro. We came at it from a con. But it's interesting to see just how right on some of these points have been and some of these dots we've connected, saying, uh-oh, look out, here it comes. The near unanimous enactment of the 21st Century Cures Act by both the House and the Senate potentially heralds a new era of global healthcare leadership by the United States. Now, add to that that Obama had passed an executive order just a few weeks back, I think it was November 4th, in regards to the global health agenda. That's actually what it said in the title, something to those lines. I'm looking to see if I could see the link, but my eyes are still all jumpy. Not enough coffee yet. But it's something about the global health agenda. Go to whitehouse.gov, search executive order, and you'll see it. It was right at the beginning of November. This is global health agenda for countries. You know, if we had a pandemic out there and you can't afford, oh, here it is, advancing the global health security agenda. So add national security to that as well. And that gives us the means for imperialistic dominion with our newfangled technology that has been put on steroids by the passage of this 21st Century Cures Act. Back to the story, America's pharmaceutical and biotech sectors have been stagnant throughout the past presidential administration, and this is partly because of the structural impediment, i.e. the FDA, that stands in the way to streamline drug approval, and in part because the drugs and devices and biologics, remember that's going to be the new word for drugs required for this next century, simply cannot be approved with the procedures that served us in the last century. Yes, again, it's that FDA. They are standing in the way of 21st century cures by requiring safety testing. And we found out that even the testing that the FDA has in place right now isn't necessarily protecting us. You know, every other week you see some new commercial from one of those hit-and-run ambulance-chasing law firms about have you or your loved ones taken XYZ drug and had these horrible symptoms or died? Well, if they have, call us at some catchy, memorable phone number, and we can win you millions of dollars in lawsuits. Well, you know what, guys? I bet you it's part of this act, and I'm still trying to dig through it, and oh my God, did I find some more insane stuff today. The Project BioShield is mentioned in there, and oh yes, pandemics. And don't worry about it, strategic stockpiles as well. Maybe we will hit that on Monday, because I was just reading that before the show going, oh my God, oh my God. But this is full balls out, guys. This is every horror that we've discussed throughout these technologies and all this coming mad science and invasive surveillance into our bodies, this making us endpoints on the Internet of Everything, is actually now going to happen. This was the piece of legislation that just made every nightmare I have ever had come true. All right, so back to this. So yes, of course, that FDA, even though they weren't batting a thousand in the old 20th century style, they were costing Big Pharma way too much money with that R&D line item budget. And guys, the best part about it is they actually mentioned that in here. That whole thing about that, erasing that R&D because it isn't good for shareholders and making it, you know, the taxpayer responsibility to help fund this new 21st century medicine. It actually mentions that in here as part of spurring our new economy. Nearly all Americans and nearly all on both sides of the aisle recognize that the life sciences industry, and don't forget, Google has one of those, named Verily, where good old Tommy Insel, former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, moved to in October of 2015. Good old Tommy Insel is working at Google's life sciences division called Verily. But nearly all Americans and nearly all on both sides of the aisle recognize that life sciences are one of the major economic engines of America and one of the key sources of job creation for Americans at nearly all educational levels. Well, I'll tell you, that was the elevator pitch to Trump. He likes little sound bites, and that one says job creation for Americans. So they have been able to wordsmith their story appropriately to get us all behind 21st century cures. While there are industries we once led that may never return to the U.S. shores, the U.S. loss of life science sector employment is a self-inflicted wound that we can and must heal. And I don't think they actually get into why that was a self-inflicted wound, but we talked about that before. All in the name of stem cells, embryonic stem cell research using abortifacient tissue. Back in the days of Ronald Reagan, when he banned research on stem cells. And like I said, the irony of that whole thing was is that Ronnie Reagan suffered then from some sort of major dementia in the end, that stem cells and little mini brain balls, which they can now make from your own skin cells. Look that up, IPS or pluripotent stem cells. There's a whole bunch of stuff out there on it, but you could scrape adult skin cells, put a little petri dish, mix it with a little chemical cocktail, and bloop, you have these stem cells that can be turned into any stem cell in the human body. They've done all kinds of experiments. Little mini brain balls were just one. They've been creating organs, hearts, livers, tissue, lung. They were doing some research on lung cancer, that type of stuff. They're even going to look at bringing back brain dead people, some patients that they wanted to take to India and then inject some brain stem cells into them and see if they'd wake back up. Though, and then India ended up curtailing that. I think they denied them from doing the experiment in their country. Another one of those offshore mad science countries that we employ. But anyway, so yes, this whole original stem cell issue back in the 80s with Ronald Reagan was our self-inflicted wound. The economic engine that drives that healing is a revitalized U.S. Food and Drug Administration and its partnership with the National Institute of Health and other branches of the Department of Health and Human Services. And when we were reading segments of the 21st Century Cures Act, the inked by Obama bill that has now become a law, we found that there was a section called Surveillance of Neurological Diseases. Surveillance of neurological diseases that are now under the purvey of federal agencies. Like, let that sink in for a second. They want to build a database and a national neurological condition surveillance system of which American citizens are endpoints. And they want to be able to track where those people are and what their history is. Of course, it's all in the name of future cures of mental disease and understanding the brain as part of the Brain Project. Remember this whole precision medicine initiative that this 21st Century Cures Act has been crafted around was a White House edict, along with the Brain Initiative, along with genomics projects and the All of Us program. I was watching an excerpt yesterday of that Cancer Moonshots meeting that we had heard a little piece out of Joe Biden speaking at that gathering, and Jennifer Doudna had spoken up as one of the panelists during that event. And it just talked about the promise of curing cancer. It was supposed to be about moonshots, but got into all kinds of 21st century cures as well as how we need to get there. And in watching the full length, and I didn't get through the whole thing, but I'm getting there. And I actually put it on the UCY TV YouTube under liked videos on the homepage. If there's something that I really want you guys to see, I'll put it out there. It's 1 hour and 6 minutes. I almost ran it for a show today because it's Friday and I got lots of stuff to do. By the way, there are a bunch of people who have sent me messages from 4 or 5 different places. And I just want to let you guys know I haven't forgotten about you. It's just that you need to understand there are so many things, especially with the holidays happening right now. In my personal life, I mean, I got a billion balls I'm trying to juggle. But then add it to the network, we got 30 plus shows of other people who are trying to deal with the holidays as well. So, you know, we get a last minute, oh, I can't be there tonight. So it's trying to whip something up to put it in a slot. It's been very, very hectic for me right now. So I promise that I will get to it. I definitely haven't forgotten about anybody. And I appreciate every single person that listens and pays attention. Guys, this is so important to us right now. I've been trying to focus and doing good research and bringing you things that really matter, not just sitting here reading articles that are the same old thing over and over again. And I know you're probably sick to death of me talking about the dystopian future that is coming. But the fact of the matter is that one last piece for all these dots that have been coming to this one single point in time that is going to change the future of the human race forever just happened. It just happened right before the holiday, right when none of the mainstream is paying attention. You know, I haven't even had a chance for all the years that I've been working with all those Pigmind videos and millions of shares and whatever. We got the automation going now, so it's pick 'em and click 'em. And I don't have to babysit that stuff anymore. And so, honestly, the last month, maybe, I haven't really looked at mainstream headlines. So I have no idea what they're even talking about at the moment. But I can guarantee you, it is not the 21st Century Cures Act and what that means. So let's get back to this. So anyway, part of this, the section 399S we discovered yesterday was surveillance of neurological diseases at a federal level. Back to the story. Of course, the Food and Drug Administration is now partnering with the National Institute of Health and other branches of the Department of Health and Human Services, which, of course, are involved in this new surveillance of neurological diseases. Over the past 8 years of the Obama administration, we have lived through an environment where one promising drug after another has failed in early stage research and development. Ding! Not because our industry has gotten stupider, but because the science has gotten harder, the clinical targets more elusive, and the path to approval ever more torturous. Well, golly gee, if the science has gotten harder, the clinical targets more elusive, and the path to approval ever more torturous because the science actually is harder, and we don't really understand what the hell we're doing, flipping genetic switches on and off and inserting little nanobots into orifices. God forbid that it might take us more R&D to get approval. I mean, literally, that is what they are saying. And they failed in early stage research. Well, why did they fail would be the question. Because you couldn't come up with conclusive results. I mean, we read that study that it talked about how in looking at approvals that have been done up until this point between, I don't know, it was 2008 and 2015 or 14, I think the years were, they had found a very, very, very small percentage of brand new treatments that had been approved that actually not only improved the patient's life from what they would have been without that clinical drug, but potentially even made their life a little worse or made them a little sicker. And that just is not fair. So now let's add the 21st Century Cures Act. Let's clear the table, get the chessboard all reset, because it's new game on, people. Because of this stagnation, God forbid the shareholders of one of the major pharma companies, one after another, backed off on R&D investment. Isn't that what we said? Oh, no. They are not investing in cures anymore because it is not profitable. So in the most extreme market distortions, the rapacious acquirers often domiciled offshore, yet they went to some of our mad science countries like India, and they have effected hostile takeovers of U.S. pharmaceutical companies, fired entire R&D enterprises, and harvested the profits from inline drugs with remaining patent life. And we read about that in that story where they actually researched. They said that drug companies were actually spending their dollars on just putting out medications that have already been out there, that aren't new, that aren't improved, just to be able to suck the life dry out of all the sales while they hold the exclusive patent. The practice is a little different from the rampage of the Dark Ages through Europe, burning villages, eating crops, and consuming the seed grain in the process. Hey, listen to this. We have the Vikings. Take Alzheimer's as an example. The decade between the first appearance of structural changes in the brain and the subsequent measurable changes in cognition, and this is our mental health piece, but they don't actually call it that, is a decade during which no pharmaceutical company can afford to be engaged in clinical trials. Well, should we shed a tear? These multi-billion dollar corporations can't afford to research an illness that we've been told in the mainstream is at epidemic proportions. Boo-hoo-hoo, Big Pharma. So, and it's all the FDA's fault, by the way. Unless the FDA is finally able to approve drugs based on intermediate endpoints, such as subtle neurocognitive changes in people, just the little ones, like maybe we could say you have potential Alzheimer's in the future, let us get invasive and start monitoring you. That's literally what that says between the lines there, people. We read the text. That's what they're talking about. People with cognitive deficits. And as they start diagnosing and defining What cognitive deficits are included under this heading? And remember, they're going to be the ones making the rules. It has been made broad enough that we could add anything to that, anything that relates to the brain, anything that relates to your potential ability to be, you know, an individual that does what you're told, that doesn't get lost, Nana. Unless the FDA is finally able to approve drugs based on intermediate endpoints, such as subtle neural cognitive changes in people with possible early disease, sting, pre-disease, and subtle changes on imaging, biopharma companies are locked into 5 or 10 years long of a clinical trial with their return on investment cycles that shareholders, those damn shareholders, just cannot support. But on the flip side, of course, is that companies that do strike a partnership with the FDA must be willing to keep their promises, and listen to this, to continue monitoring those on that new drug after approval is granted and to share that detailed data about the long-term effects. So we literally have the drug companies monitoring themselves. We read a story yesterday where an original version of the 21st Century Cures Act, they had been trying to push for getting rid of long-term surveillance of drugs after they'd been approved. That one dude from Buffalo, that representative from Buffalo, who had all the investments, $5 to $25 million in his own biopharma company headquartered out of Buffalo. But they said that that didn't quite make it into the bill. I'm still working through the new law, and I'll let you know what I find. But interestingly, that it wasn't even the FDA that was doing the long-term surveilling. It was the drug companies who were responsible for manufacturing the product that were doing it and then promising to share that detailed data with the FDA. Thus, both the FDA and industry must now learn some new approaches if the promise of the 21st Century Cures Act is to be fulfilled. The good news is that success in mastering new approaches has been demonstrated in cancer. Ding! Remember, it was all about the big C. That was how they were going to get us to step right up and be willing to accept this new way of doing things, even if it is little mini nanobots in your blood. Don't worry about it, Johnny, because it can potentially cure you. Concerted leadership at FDA combined with new innovation in industry. Yeah, like in Google's, some of Google's research, some of IBM's research, Dr. Watson. By the way, I did find a story. I had said when we were looking at the VA now utilizing precision medicine and artificial intelligence as part of their back end, I mentioned that I figured it was probably Watson, but I didn't see Watson mentioned in the article. When I was searching something yesterday, I came across VA utilizing IBM Watson to help them procure or give healthcare. Anyway, so the good news is that success in mastering new approaches has been demonstrated in cancer. Concerted leadership at the FDA combined with new innovation in industry has led to an environment where approvals for critical unmet needs have now been streamlined. And with reduced time to market, i.e. safety testing, and an increased chance of success, the investment community, and we saw that once Trump got elected, we looked at what biopharma was doing and it was going through the roof. The investment community has responded with enthusiasm, making increasing amounts of capital available for the first-in-class life-saving cures. Meaning we're all going to make bazillions of dollars. And the reason why biopharma went sky high a month or so before the 21st Century Cures Act was passed was because potentially there were people in the know. I wouldn't doubt it. Not after what we just found out about. Not what we found out about Congress telling the courts that, hey, having insider information is part of their jobs and they cannot be held liable if something leaks out. With reduced time to market and increased chances of success, the investment community has responded with enthusiasm, making increasing amounts of capital available for first-in-class life-saving cures. And now is the time to apply those lessons learned to areas of drug development, which, of course, they're going to be using that DNA database. 23andMe and the National Institute of Health, check that box to come up with new DNA-based precision medicine cures just for people like you, Jenny. Step right up. With regards to structural needs, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration now needs more than 1,000 regulatory scientists, physicians, nurses, and PhDs, and other scientific personnel than it has today. And of course, more than 600 are needed in the FDA Center for Drugs. And these positions are vacant today because the FDA needs a salary structure and a personnel policy that supports recruitment, hiring, retention of those scientists if we are to have any hope of revitalizing our nation's pharma R&D pipeline. Ding, 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 ding. It's all about the R&D pipeline, people. Except that now we just passed a bill for $6.3 billion that's going to help fund building their R&D pipeline without them having to put the money up front. It's exactly what we said was going to happen. It's all about the money. All about the money. 21st Century Cures Act provides the structural and the financial supporting that FDA requires to fill its ranks, and it's critical that the FDA not be caught up on any potential federal hiring freeze. Without shoring up the FDA structure and filling its ranks, it doesn't matter what policy we enact, drug approvals, both innovative and generic, will grind to a halt. And taxpayers and policymakers alike should realize that the majority of these unfilled positions, oh, listen to this, are not necessarily funded by tax dollars, rather by user fees that are willingly paid by industry, ha, 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 to support the process of drug approval. So wait a second. So instead of having to do the R&D on the front end and then present it with safety efficacy numbers to the FDA with an approval form. Now what they do is they just give the FDA money to support those very scientists' salaries who are dependent on approving that drug. What a freaking joke. So it's even worse than taxpayer-funded scientists. This is the drug company funding those very scientists that approve their drug that allows them to do clinical trials on humans without a full-blown safety testing beforehand and then make bazillions of dollars as they get exclusive patented rights. At the same time, the FDA policy leadership that convinces the rank-and-file scientists of the need to support drug approval based on intermediate endpoints like biomarkers that may need to show structural improvement before true clinical improvement is seen. So it's got to be restructured too, people. And that is the intent of the accelerated approval provision in the 21st Century Cures Act. Yes, let's just accelerate it now. Close your eyes quick. Let it go by. Which is intended to bolster the FDA's ability to review and approve medications for the most threatening diseases. It's all about security and safety, people. Such as cancer and cognitive neuroscience diseases, which they don't even type that out. They just call it CNS, so you don't even know. And others that are most likely to kill Americans. but where the old-fashioned 20th century way of clinical endpoints are just simply too difficult to measure and take too long to ascertain, boo-hoo-hoo, and cost too much. Attention on biomarkers, ding ding, i.e. biosensors and surveillance. And immediate endpoints alone will not solve the problem. However, the FDA must increase their risk-based regulation where clinical studies and drug approvals are not unduly slowed down by theoretical toxicity concerns. Yeah, you know, hey, this is dioxin in it. Dioxin has been shown to be toxic to humans and other mammals. But hey, it's only one in a million, and we're not increasing the dosage that much, so it's really kind of theoretical. So screw it. We won't test it out. It should be okay. I mean, is that what they are saying? The FDA must increasingly adopt risk-based regulation, where clinical studies and drug approvals are not unduly slowed down by theoretical toxicity concerns that are unrelated to observed clinical risks, right? Like, this was for some other drug, but same makeup, just used for something different, but which we have the potential to add years of delay and hundreds of millions of dollars, ha ha, in R&D to the cost of every product in the current drug pipeline. Ding, 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 da-da-da-da-ding. Exactly what I've been saying, guys. It's all about the money. It's all about the shareholders. It's all about erasing that line item R&D budget and putting the onus on speeding these through. Don't pay attention to those theoretical toxicity concerns. They could hit so much. Let's just roll it out there. If someone's desperate enough, they'll check that box. Remember, there was another item in the table of contents that was titled something to the effect of waiving informed consent in clinical trials. So don't worry about that, Jenny. This might help cure you. If a clinical trial will involve the exposure of 200 patients to an existing, well-known pharmaceutical substance, it makes no sense to require the sponsor of that clinical trial to perform an extra $1 million in animal experiments in order to look for some new 1 in 10,000 theoretical toxicities prior to proving the basic efficacy of the drug substance. Now, that's kind of what I was saying. So there's a theoretical toxicity that may be just 1 in 10,000, and that one just might be your nana, or that one just might be your child that this could affect. But you know what? Yeah, screw it. We've already approved this drug, and that one person didn't even sue. So let's roll it out there and see what happens. Because it's going to save us hundreds of millions of dollars. So is that the price tag for your loved one that happens to be that one? I guess it is. Such risks are better monitored, here we go, through ongoing post-market surveillance. Ding, ding. Using what? Oh, my goodness. Electronic systems. Doctor's smartphone comes to the table. Electronic systems, people, capable of population-wide safety monitoring. Well, how do you expect that they are going to do that? Population-wide post-market surveillance using electronic systems sounds very 1984 to me. Buck Rogers in the 21st century, that little robot with your LCD touchscreen or your wearable that can detect with biosensors exactly what's going on inside as they are communicating wirelessly with those little nanorobotic biological organisms that you ingested with breakfast yesterday. With the revitalization of top-level FDA leadership, It is equally important to spread the message throughout the organization that the FDA's role is to approve safe and effective drugs, devices, and biologics, and can only accomplish this by being an engaged partner in the drug approval process. Protection of the public is tantamount, of course. But without the 21st century cures, here comes the threat. There will be less of a public to protect. I mean, the guy yesterday from Buffalo came right out and said, oh, people are going to die if you don't pass this. Now listen to this. Congress has done a remarkable job of slippery palms and butt patting across the aisle to see how many more can become millionaires by passing this groundbreaking bipartisan legislation. And now, drum roll, please. The incoming administration must support one of the nation's most critical regulatory agencies in its implementation. Well, you know what's going to happen. Biologic stock prices went through the roof. That means that it is game on. That means that business is going to win. All they have to do is read him that elevator pitch that they wrote in here about spurring the 21st century economy for Americans of all education levels. Right now, we have cancer hospitals in a lot of our larger cities, even Rochester and Buffalo, so our mid-level cities, probably one in Syracuse as well. I don't know that for a fact, but I would guess Syracuse University is probably in the middle of it too, where the majority of this biologic, this biotech research is going on is all about cancer. The universities have tied in with the hospitals. We have now what are called cancer research centers. They have become the economic engines. I found out the University of Rochester here with strong hospitals, one of Rochester's biggest, if not the biggest employer in this area. And I would guess that University of Buffalo with Roswell Park Cancer Institute and some of the other research institutes around in Buffalo are probably also some of the biggest employers. Not that that's a bad thing, except that the biopharma companies are the ones who are financing all this. The DARPAs of this world and the BARDAs are the ones that are financing all this. It's all being done in the name of safety, responding to threats here and across the globe to be able to surveil and watch where disease is, all in the name of reaction. Problem reaction solution. We have solutions already being cooked up in a laboratory. So we find that in this 21st Century Cures Act, one of the pieces of this is about mental health. We read, you know, the CNS, cognitive neural surveillance, all tied back to Alzheimer's. We also had PTSD come up before. And we've had now these smartphone applications that are all going to be rolling out that'll be able to not only diagnose mental disorders, such as schizophrenia, bipolar, depression, Alzheimer's, PTSD, psychosis, but also things such as heart disease and many others that they are working on just by the sound of your voice. What an easy way to surveil what people are doing. Add to that now, like I said, wearable devices and soon to be in our clothing. Got these little fine micro sensors now that they can weave into cloth that are flexible. Good old Google DARPA, Regina Duggan, Levi's working on that. Now we got Under Armour and, well, I don't know if we talked about that sock company for diabetics. We're making them all smart. Smart technology is going to be in everything, guys, and soon to be in you. But listen to this. So a story in regards to the 21st Century Cures Act mental health provision came out from the Connecticut Post. And why Connecticut is important, if anyone remembers, is because Connecticut is where Sandy Hook occurred. And Connecticut is where they've been trying to push with a knee-jerk reaction for more restrictive gun legislation. Remember, right after Sandy Hook, New York State, Cuomo, in the middle of the night without the obligatory, I don't remember, it was a couple days worth of public comment, passed the SAFE Act, which they've only enacted part one. Part two, interestingly enough, which hasn't been enacted yet, had a provision for mental health screenings. Ha, ha, ha. And they had to be updated. Guys, this has been orchestrated, okay? I'm telling you, this is bullshit detector flashing continuously at the moment, so you can't even tell it's flashing. It's just a straight bloop. It is going off full tilt. And it doesn't mean we won the game. It means we lost the game. So the Connecticut Post updated. This is Monday, December 5th. Mental health bill advances. So this was before they passed it. Amid partisan differences. And that was the differences in regards to gun control. We had the Republicans. We had the Democrats. Republicans really didn't want it. Democrats thought it should be done. The 2012 tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary School spurned a major mental health overhaul, now on the verge of congressional approval. And ding, it's been approved. One of his chief sponsors, we read a story about him, U.S. Senator Chris Murphy, and I believe he was out of Pennsylvania, wasn't he? Insists the bill is not about gun violence prevention. At least, wink, not entirely. This legislation certainly will have some effect on the rates of gun violence, but it will be minuscule compared to stronger gun laws, Murphy said. So don't worry about that, people who are afraid. The bill will likely pass the Senate, and it did this week, and head to Obama's desk, which it did, and he inked it with 12 or 9 or 12 pens. And clearly the gun lobby and many Republicans want to blame the gun violence epidemic on mental illness. I said to the Republicans at the outset, and this is a quote of Murphy, if you want to message this as an answer to gun violence, I'm not interested, he says. The majority of Republicans on Capitol Hill then acquiesced for the most part. The mental health bill is part of a much larger $6.3 billion 21st Century Cures Act, which offers a shot in the arm to research and cures for Alzheimer's, cancer, and other diseases. The mental health measure, co-sponsored by Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. Wait, wasn't this the dude that also filed a bill that would allow them to sell pharmaceuticals to Americans out of Canada? And it might have affected his investments. That was the same guy. So the mental health measure, co-sponsored by the one example of a senator in that story from yesterday, of a senator that didn't vote in his own best economic interest, authorizes up to $1 billion in grants to fight heroin and opioid abuse and addiction, and closes loopholes in the law requiring health insurance parity between physical and mental health. So they're going to get a full-out, full-blown shot in the arm for mental health. But in Connecticut, a state with an acute sense of loss since Sandy Hook's mass shooting that took 26 lives. The gun issue is never far from the surface of the mental health issue. That mental health issue, where in the text of the 21st Century Cures Bill, section 399S, part one, titled Surveillance of Neurological Disease, is becoming a reality, people. I don't know. I am postulating when you go to buy a firearm, you're going to have to speak into a device, whether it be a smart device or a microphone of any kind, and have your voice patterns analyzed for different levels on a spectrum of mental illness, potentially, and be rated then with your dossier that is being held by probably the Department of Homeland Security, maybe even to the NSA. Tell whether or not you have a score that is appropriate, just like a credit score, to lend you cash. This will be like a mental health score to allow you to purchase a firearm. I see that happening, people. I see all the dots connecting right to that very point. Like I said, phase two of the SAFE Act out of New York. I don't know when they are planning on enacting that, but I should look that up. Had a provision for mental health screening. So now they're going to pull on some heartstrings as part of this Connecticut story. Quote, the individual who killed my little Daniel clearly was in a mental health crisis, says Sandy Hook Promise co-founder and managing director Mark Barton, whose son Daniel was among the 20 school children killed by shooter Adam Lanza. You know, guys, I'm not going to say, and I don't know, there were all kinds of conspiracy theories around this whole thing. I think some of it was played up as, you know, whether or not they were in ambulance chasing it to just ride on the coattails of a tragedy. You know, never let a good crisis go to waste. Regardless of what occurred at Sandy Hook, it was made an agenda item to push forward their gun control. Okay, that's all it was done. The knee-jerk reaction by New York State and Cuomo, and then Obama getting up. I watched his speech live that day, giving his 26 executive actions, whatever it was, and one was to get around those pesky HIPAA laws. Well, we're going to follow this up because that actually happened. Sandy Hook's Promise works with parents, schools, and community organizations nationwide, on identifying and intervening with troubled people. So identifying, surveillance, cognitive neural network, identifying and intervening with troubled people who might turn violent if not treated. Again, pre-crime. And I know, like I said, I know that there are people who are very disturbed out there. There are definitely people out there that you wouldn't want to have a firearm. But on the other hand, this is setting a very disturbing precedent. The fact that they have loosened HIPAA laws, that they have allowed your name now. And wait till you see this. I almost fell over. They can use your name for identification purposes and reporting purposes. Because your health information is no longer private. All in the name of keeping us safe, Johnny. Promise has worked with Murphy and others on Capitol Hill and among advocates to win passage of the mental health law, which he calls, quote, the final piece of the solution, unquote. So in one side of their mouth, they come out and say, no, this isn't about gun legislation at all. And out of the other side of their mouth, they say, hey, this dude who is one of the lead honchos out of the Sandy Hook group that is now working on surveilling, identifying, and intervening with people who may turn violent in the future because of their mental health issues, was one of the advocates. Maybe he even got one of those engraved pens that Obama used to help them win passage of the mental health provision that was included in the 21st Century Cures Act law. Although there are no gun violence specifics in it, wink, and that's how we got our bipartisan support. There is one thing Republicans and Democrats can agree on, and that is, now we've read about the Washington being broken the other day. Well, I'm going to have to sing Frank Zappa again. There's one thing that Republicans and Democrats can agree on. The U.S. mental health system is broken. The mental health system is broken. It don't work anymore. The U.S. mental health system is broken. It don't work anymore. As Murphy had put it, an improved mental health care certainly is a piece of the mass shooting puzzle. Murphy led the Senate filibuster early this year to force votes on expanded gun purchase background checks and no-fly, no-buy gun prohibitions on individuals on the government's terror watch list. Neither vote bore fruit, but we've been pushing at it really hard, so we got in the back door. but momentum on Capitol Hill to pass mental health legislation nevertheless continued to gather steam. And in its earliest incarnations, the mental health bill was less than proving ground for Democrats interested in gun violence prevention than Republican efforts to expand gun rights for former mental health patients. I don't really agree with that necessarily either, but hey. Under current law, involuntary commitment to a mental hospital, ha ha, ding-a-ling-a-ling, or being, quote, adjudicated as a mental defective, unquote, bars individuals from purchasing guns and actually puts them in the FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check System, ding, 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 ding. So that's already under current law. In most states, former mental health patients can appeal in court to get their gun rights restored. And Connecticut allows gun rights restoration through official pardons. Backed by the National Rifle Association, John Corin of Texas put forward a proposal that would have automatically restored gun rights to anyone who had a judge's order expire and left a mental health treatment facility. Oh, that's kind of disturbing. Let's walk out and go to the gun store. Yep. I don't know. That's a little too liberal for me. But, you know, I mean, if you just had a little issue, like major breakdown because of a relationship or somebody died or whatever, you know, that happens. This grief is a real thing. But if you have a real mental health issue, I'm sorry, guys. But I don't think somebody should have things that they can really injure themselves and or their families and or strangers with, at least for a little while. Guns and mental health, so don't get mad at me on that one. Just seems like you're asking for trouble. Guns and mental health aren't the only issue in this overall bill that is likely to have an impact on Connecticut. 21st Century Cures Act streamlines the process through which drug and medical device companies, we're still not going to get to it, these devices can include brain implants, by the way, get their products approved by the Food and Drug Administration. And among those opposing this act was a bill by Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut. She says, in this attempt to speed up the drug and device approval process, the legislation neglects the very people who these clinical trials are meant to help, and that is the patient. So I have to give Rosa DeLauro a kudos on that one, because even though it might have given them some teeth into the mental health law, she's saying, holy shit, you are just giving the American people away to the pharmaceutical company to test without having to prove that it's not going to kill them first. How ridiculous is this? And it passed, guys. This is law now. She says, continues, rather than protect those who are relying on the healthcare system, it reduces the already weak regulations on medical devices and allows drugs and devices to be approved with only limited evidence of the drug's safety and efficacy, and rushes the use of new and unproven things such as antibiotics. But Murphy argues that the proposal would benefit Connecticut's growing biotech sector. Rub your hands together. All you people that are invested in biotech are going to make bazillions, so shut up. Let this happen. This bill is going to help get life-saving drugs to the market faster, says Murphy. That seems to be the spin line. We have a lot of small startups up there, sprinkle funding from agencies such as DARPA, remember, that come out and go, oh, we want to have a clinical trial at this or that university or hospital. Step right up, people. And like places in Farmington, New Haven, and Stamford, Connecticut, and those companies will have a better chance of getting drugs to the market at a lower cost. Well, as of January 5th, 2016, Obama gun control push leads the Federal Health and Human Services to change HIPAA rules on background checks. Anyone remember this? Because I don't remember seeing this. January 5th, 2016, rule change will enable providers to show the identities of patients subject to a federal mental health prohibitor for gun possession. The Department of Health and Human Services, the same one that'll be involved in executing the surveillance of neurological diseases as part of this 21st Century Cures Act, said that it will change the rules so that mental health providers can share data with the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, part of a slate of executive actions President Barack Obama on Tuesday in January of 2016 announced to help curtail gun violence. This was an executive order, guys. The National Instant Criminal Background Check System is maintained by the FBI to conduct background checks on people who may be legally disqualified from owning firearms. Specifically, the HIPAA privacy rule will change to enable mental health providers to show identities of patients subject to a federal mental health prohibitor that prevents them from shipping, transporting, or possessing a firearm. However, the new rule prohibits mental health providers from sharing any diagnostic or clinical information, you know, just that important stuff, from medical records. All we have to do is say red or green and other sources beyond the fact that a person is barred from gun ownership. The index records consists of the name of ineligible individuals, the date of birth, sex, and codes indicating an applicable prohibitor, the submitting entity, and the agency recording the supporting prohibition, i.e., an order for involuntary commitment, according to the rule. Obama announced an array of executive actions to address gun violence in the United States, which included overhauling the background check system and enforcing checks and licenses for state sales at gun shows and over the internet, increasing mental health treatment, including another $500 million investment, and now the 21st Century Cures Act, $6.3 billion, and increase access to mental health care, directing the Departments of Defense, Justice, Homeland Security to conduct and sponsor research into gun safety technology. Guys, the next piece is coming. Now the mental health law for surveillance devices, and we're going to get to that. There is a bill that is out there called H.R. 4919, dated December 8th, 2016, that has devices that they talk about for tracking people. All right, guys, have an awesome weekend. Make sure you stick around. Lots and lots of live video. I will catch up with you on Monday.
Skateboard, and you're listening to UC Rock.